Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Hello, Houston. Not Joe. I'm Jeremy. Jeremy and Joe. Joe's out today. Chancellor Johnson filling in. Good to have you, man. Looking forward to this.
So
should
much.
Be good.
Excited to be on. Is the honeymoon over?
Well, it's on pause. The honeymoon is on pause, that's for sure. Chance will be here for an hour. You have to slump it up with Brian for 30 minutes, and then we're going to get Dr. Will Doctor in here. I feel like Stephen A. Smith a little bit. Like, he runs in his co-host and stuff. Jeremy A. Branham. Brian dressed up nice for you. Usually he's wearing a T-shirt. This is the second day in a row that Brian has wore a button-down shirt. I'm starting to wonder, though. I'm starting to get questions. It's a little suspicious. He's worn more nice shirts in the last 2 days than he has the last 2 years.
Why do you think that is?
I got my suspicions. I'm not sure I want to air his dirty laundry. I don't know his dirty laundry. I'd be guessing.
I feel like by you hinting, you are already kind of are.
I mean, are you looking for another job?
I'm not, no.
Is there a, you know?
Would I go to a job interview still wearing shorts?
Maybe you have a...
What type of job?
Maybe you have a side interest, Brian.
I don't.
Okay. You're very hard to see right now, by the way. This light is glaring off that glass and I can't see like normal. I'm in a better mood than yesterday. Yesterday I was in a bad mood to start the show.
What happened?
I forgot my headphones. It was totally my fault.
How do you? It's what you should have.
Whenever I travel, I don't like to carry this big bulky thing in my backpack, so I'll take it out of my backpack when I travel.
Okay.
And I usually try to keep it in a spot where I'll remember to put it back in my backpack once I'm home.
Sure.
And I did, but I left
keep
it.
One at the office. That's what she.
That's a good idea.
It's like a charger, right? You got to have one.
That's a great idea. I'm going to do that. Maybe I'll ask for it for Christmas, Brian. If you're looking for something, I think these are Sony's. If you want to gift me something this Christmas.
I think Stutes used to keep headphones here. We had those lockers outside in the hall.
I'm sure he cleaned it out, right?
Yeah, I'm sure he took them with him.
Sure he cleaned it out. No Joe George today, by the way. Where is Joe today? Wrong answers only. 713-780-3776. I'm not sure if we're supposed to talk about this, but what the heck. He told us yesterday his wife had food poisoning. Mm. And then he told us today that he was sick. I'm starting to think it wasn't food poisoning. I think it might be a bug.
He's going to get you guys sick, too.
I know. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, right before the holidays.
Which you might be next.
Whoa. Thanksgiving's coming up.
I know.
I need to get my plate ready. I can't do that right now.
I know. Hopefully that's not the case. There were roofers outside of my house today at 7 a.m., though. My neighbors are getting a new roof. 7 a.m.
What time do you usually wake up?
Usually between 7:30 and 8. Usually, Brandon Baby wakes me up. I don't set an alarm.
But 30 minutes before you're supposed to wake up, like, that'll kind of ruin your day.
I think that... Like, if you wake up at 7:30 by yourself versus 7:30 artificially, it's totally different.
Oh, for sure.
Even if it's the exact same time, it's totally different. I don't know why.
Yeah.
I'm not smart enough to know the science behind that, but it's a big difference. Anyways, no one cares about my woes. We'll talk a little bit Houston Cougar basketball a little bit later. Rockets, they resume the NIT.
That's what
against
we're calling
Cleveland.
It? NIT.
Remember the first year, and I'll never let this down. This is why I'm forever going to call it the NIT. They wore those shirts that said NBA in-season tournament.
Yeah.
So, yeah. NIT.
Fair enough.
So, I'm not letting them live it down.
Though. It might still feel a little clumsy, but the product itself is really good.
I egregiously talk it up, but... In sincerity, I like it.
For sure.
Because would you rather have players play for $1 million in the middle of November or just play regular season game number 12 through 18?
For sure.
It has more stakes.
And you can feel the intensity change, right? Even like last year, it was a big deal for the Rockets when they were able to go to Vegas, right? For a team that didn't have any really true postseason experience. Now, of course, I'm not calling it the postseason.
No.
But just a higher stakes that a young team like the Rockets at the time certainly needed. And so, once again, it turned out to be some good basketball overall, and went in on to be an indication of how the Rockets' season ended up going on.
No, I mock it, but I agree with you. I do enjoy it more than I would just normal regular season basketball. The stakes do, you know, they jump a little bit, and the players turn it on. Rockets got to the semis last year, and I think it's good for, like, a young team, too.
Sure.
'Cause, like, young teams grow by tasting the postseason, probably even postseason failures. Yeah. And you get a little dose of that without actually being in the postseason. Yeah. So, like, you can feel a little bit of the stakes rise without it actually being playoff basketball. I think it's good for a young team.
What's the radio equivalent of that? What would that be? If you knew, look, $1 million was on the line, is it like ratings? Yeah. Like how could we do that for radio?
Like, what would make it stand up?
Yeah,
probably hosting with you and not Joe George. Okay. That elevates it for me. That raises the stakes for me. No, when Joe said he wasn't going to make it today, I, like, threw a little party for myself. I was a little excited. He probably wouldn't like that I said that. But, hey, I call it like it is. Yesterday I got done dirty. Chance. Will Kunkel, who's your brethren? What's wrong with you TV guys, huh? What's wrong with you TV guys?
Well, I mean, formerly TV guys,
I know.
Technically.
Which, you're with the Big 12. What's your official title with the Big 12? So, I should have introduced you better.
Yeah, so content creator, basketball and football analyst, for sure.
Lots going on in the Big 12, man.
Yes, yes.
The freshman class in the Big 12 is unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean, it's to me, this might be the best group of freshmen that I can recall in a really long time. Now, I'm not that old, but
yeah.
I don't want to say, like, it's the best ever, you know, or best in the past 20 years. But, I mean, you look at from the Big 12, whether it's – you can start right here in Houston. Mm-hmm. Chris Cenac Jr., and then Kingston Flemings. And that's not even including Isaiah Harwell, who's had a slow start to the season. But what will he look like come wintertime as he gets more games under his belt? He's a very talented player as well. He's also a five-star. Then you go to Kansas with Darren Peterson. BYU, AJ DeBonsa.
Yeah.
I mean, the list goes on. People don't even talk about the guy at Baylor, Tunde Yesufu. I mean, he's an Anthony Edwards-type built, you know, and he's a really talented guy, and that's just within the Big 12. And then you got Caleb Wilson from North Carolina. I mean, the list goes on. The Boozer Twins at Duke. I mean, we could spend 20 minutes talking about the freshmen. I'm sure I'm happy to, but it's been really so fun so far.
Did you watch them at all yesterday, the Duke-Kansas game?
Yeah. Kansas, they didn't look – obviously, when you're missing your key player and the guy that – you can tell Bill Self really crafted that entire offense around him, because without him, they just didn't have the juice. And they didn't really have the talent to keep up with Duke without him.
How long is he supposed to be out? Was it a hamstring injury?
Yeah, so originally Bill Self said it was day-to-day, and then he recently said, well, he's going to be out for some time. And so he said, look, we'd rather have him later down the season versus having him pop a hammy and miss 6 weeks. But they missed him out on the floor, and as fans of college basketball, we're missing out because, I mean, that guy's so talented.
Yeah, I hope he's back by Big 12 play. That would be that'd be disappointing if he's not. But, yeah, it's did you see the ending of that Arkansas game yesterday?
I missed that one.
Who they play? Played Colgate or somebody like that? Something like that. And they were giving them a game. Like, they were up 7 with, like, 2 minutes to play. Arkansas got back-to-back turnovers. They took the lead on a layup with, like, 2.5 seconds to play, maybe like 7 seconds.
Sure.
And the guy who scored turned around into the opposition. I forget who they played. And he grabbed them and yanked them down to the floor. And then the Arkansas dude, like, shoved them to the ground. And then you had, like, 2 or 3 Arkansas players run on the floor.
Wow.
So they ejected 4 guys, double technical, didn't lead to free throws.
At the end of a close ball.
I mean, they had no choice. I mean, it was like a tackle, a push. You leave the bench, it's automatic.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that if you leave the bench, you get ejected and it's not a technical. I didn't realize that. So no one shot free throws.
Sure.
And then, you know, they had a chance. They had an opportunity, didn't score. Arkansas, like, hung on by 1. But almost got upset. It was a crazy finish.
I got to go back and watch that tape. You know, it sounds like it could have been on ESPN or Worldstar Hip Hop.
It could have been. No, it was insane. Like, I just happened to turn it on. And I wouldn't have turned it on. But Houston plays Arkansas, and so I like to watch. I like to watch teams to get a little bit of an eye on them, like who's their point
guard. True journalist.
I like that. I don't wear the journalist hat. That's a bit we do on this show. Like, do you think radio hosts are journalists? Like, we argue about this tooth and nail.
So here's the thing: I feel like you can be, but, like,
yes,
how good of a radio host will you be if you're just?
You can do both.
Right.
You can wear both hats for sure. Right. But just, like, if all I did was come here every single day, 3 to 6, did nothing else, I'm not a journalist.
Yeah.
I'm not getting scoops. I'm not talking to anybody.
For
it's not the job. Mm-hmm. But I that's why I hesitate to call a radio show host journalist. But that's kind of like a it's like an ongoing argument.
That's
on
fair.
This show.
I mean, I didn't want to be the one to say it.
No. I agree with you. I like to have fun with it, though. No, but I do. That's the only reason that I turned that game on. It was a lot of fun. I'm not sure that Will Kunkel was a journalist, though. Yesterday he buried me. People are blocking me on Twitter and calling me a clown and cussing at me, all because I said that this offense gets the most out of Davis Mills, and I'm not sure they get the most out of C.J. Stroud.
So, you know, I want to ask you about what it was like to become the voice of the Mills Mafia.
See, that's the problem that I have. It's like I've been on this kick for the last 3 weeks. I'm like, this is not a controversy. I'm not talking about this. I'm not doing it. C.J. Stroud is up here on this level, and Davis Mills is a solid backup quarterback. This is not a conversation. This is not a debate. This is not a controversy. And then I say one thing yesterday, Will Kunkel takes me out of context, and I'm getting buried by every single blue checkmark that exists on Twitter. I've been railroaded by Will Kunkel.
Now imagine what the conversation will be if Davis Mills on Thursday Night Football,
national
TV, against a really good Bills defense, beats them.
And now, do one more. What if he beats them? Stroud's obviously going to be back for the Indy game, and obviously you're going to play Stroud even if Mills goes 3-0, and then he looks bad.
Yeah.
Then you're going to get some noise.
You'll get some noise, but I want to be clear. I'm not saying like, oh, what I'm saying is it would be interesting because I know the fan base that, you know, feel like C.J. Stroud may have, you know, he may have disappointed a little bit this year, or underperformed, I should say. If Mills does go technically 3-0 as a starter and you beat the Bills, a team that is going to the postseason, I can hear that getting louder. Right now, I feel like it's a very, very loud, silent minority.
Yeah.
You can kind of hear them, though.
There are some. And the reason that I'm not bothered by the blocking or people cursing my name. Like, it comes with the territory, and I kind of like it. Maybe it's like the antagonist persona that I like to have from time to time. The biggest problem I have is that, like, now I'm an advocate for Mills Mafia, and I was burying Mills Mafia when he was a rookie. I was like, this guy's a bum. This guy's got nothing. Not that you should have benched him or anything. The Texans were going nowhere fast those 2 years. But I was like, yeah, this guy's a bum. He's never going to be a starter in the NFL. And then fast forward 3-4 years, and Will Kunkel's taking me out of context, and now I'm the maverick for Mills Mafia. That's what bothers me.
Well, let's get to what you actually said.
Yes.
Why do you feel he looks, as you said, better?
No. I don't think he looks better. I don't think he looks better than Stroud. Like, if you ask Davis Mills, what is the offense that you want to play in to give you the best chance to have success? I think Davis Mills might say this offense or an offense that looks very similar to this. I think if you ask the same question to C.J. Stroud, he wouldn't say this offense in his first three choices. Mm-hmm. I think he would go spread. You know, this is kind of a hybrid between like the New England's offense and the Rams offense. I think it's more New England than Rams. So I think he would have West Coast second, and then maybe this one third. I don't know. Maybe he likes an air raid a little bit more. Not that many people are, you know, running the air raid in the NFL. So the take was that this scheme enhances Davis Mills more than it enhances C.J. Stroud. Not that Davis Mills is anywhere close to the same stratosphere as C.J. Stroud. But if you just do like the arbitrary pull up their numbers, they aren't that different. Why aren't they that different? Is it because Mills is close to Stroud as a player and as a talent? No way. But because he is better in the scheme. That's what closes the gap. And then Will took it like I was wanting to like bench C.J. Stroud or trade C.J. Stroud. No! It just enhances Mills more than it enhances Stroud. Stroud, though, because he's a far superior talent, is still miles ahead of Davis Mills.
So how much does that go back on Nick Caley to curtail the offense around who is supposed to be and a guy who has shown that, I want to be clear, your franchise QB?
That's the bigger take. Is like, did they screw up catering an offense for their franchise quarterback? Because when you hire an offensive coordinator, if you rewind back to the offseason, you're firing Bobby Slowick, you have C.J. Stroud, he's eligible for a big-time extension coming up in 12 months-ish at the time of hiring the new OC, what should be the primary motive there? Probably the best scheme for C.J. Stroud, right?
Absolutely.
Do you think this is the best scheme for C.J. Stroud?
It certainly hasn't looked that way.
I think it's a spread.
I'm not mad at that. I will say, I think, you know, look, with Davis Mills stepping in, I feel like he's done his job, right? Mm-hmm. Look, you really just want them to be a game manager. And for Davis Mills over the past couple of games, he's actually helped win the game with back-to-back game-winning drives. We'll see how it looks against, you know, a really good Bills defense. But for right now, he did his job into where he's kept them afloat in this playoff chase. And then, so regardless of what happens on Thursday, they at least have a chance, right? You had to beat Tennessee.
Yeah.
You can't lose to a team that had only won one game all season. And you had to beat Jacksonville, because if you had lost that Jags game, your season would have been over. It would have been too much to climb up on the Jags. And so regardless of the result on Thursday, he did his job. And so with C.J. Stroud, he's missed a lot of time. How will he look, you know, just come performance-wise? And once again, in the scheme, on a very pivotal game against the Colts next week.
But no.
Right now, first things first is the Bills.
Look, I'm not a huge stat guy ever. I think that, one, you can make stats kind of argue whatever point you want to make. Two, I think it's very dependent on the team that you're on. And it depends on sport. Like, you know, hitter versus batter having a, you know, 1,000 OPS versus a 700 OPS. Obviously, there's a big gap there. But whenever you have a sport like football, especially, even basketball in a sense, that is, you're so dependent on other people. You're so dependent on other things going right for you. I don't like to look at the numbers. Like, Jacoby Brissett threw for 450 yards the other day.
Yep.
Did he have a good game?
Sure.
I don't think so. They lost by 20-something points. Whereas you might have Jalen Hurts throw for 130 yards and they win comfortably 20-3. Mm-hmm. Where that's, you know, that's, I'd rather have that game, sure, than the Brissett game. But if you just looked at Stroud's numbers to Mills' numbers side by side, and again, I'm not saying Davis Mills is better than C.J. Stroud, but why is the gap closer than what we would think of Stroud and Mills? Stroud 66% of his passes, Davis Mills 60% of his passes. Fairly close. You go yards per game, 212 for C.J. Stroud, 182 for Mills. Fairly close. Stroud has played in twice as many games as Davis Mills, has 11 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. Stroud has 11 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. Mills has 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. That's a better touchdown to interception ratio. Quarterback rating, 93.4 for Stroud, 82.2 for Mills. Like, the stats are telling you that Stroud is better. But do those stats accurately reflect the talent gap between C.J. Stroud and Davis Mills? I don't think so. I think it's tighter than the talent gap. Well, why is it tighter than the talent gap? You might say, like, well, who did they play? That's a fair mm-hmm. counterpoint. I could also say that, well, C.J. Stroud played the Titans whenever they were really bad. He played the Ravens whenever they didn't have anybody healthy defensively. So you could throw that out there.
The 49ers game was his best game of the season.
He was very good in that game. That was the one that he won the AFC Player of the Week for the Baltimore game. And look, that's the frustrating thing about Stroud getting concussed. Is like, I think he was starting to play his best football. I think he was starting to understand the scheme. I think mm-hmm. Kaylee was starting to understand what Stroud does well in the scheme. Mm-hmm. So that's the frustrating timing of the concussion.
The other thing, too, that I do want to push back on of like how he looks in the scheme compared to C.J. Stroud is like, technically, like, yes, he's won the games and like the stats might look pretty decent.
Yeah.
But if you look back at that game, like he wasn't that great against Jacksonville up until like that fourth quarter.
Yep.
Then that money Mills switch, right? we saw some of that. And so he definitely helped lead them in that comeback in that fourth quarter. But the first three quarters, I mean, it didn't look good. And then if you go back to that game against the Denver Broncos where they need him to step up when C.J. Stroud got concussed, he certainly did look great that game. And then even against the Tennessee Titans, like, yes, he helped win the game. And once again, a game that you couldn't drop, and it's, you know, it's helped keep them afloat. But that first half, they didn't score.
Yeah, but he moved the ball, though. Like, and I with the object of the game is to score the football. I get it. Got the ball to the 2, and they couldn't get a fourth and goal.
Sure, that's a problem.
He got him into field goal range, and then he did take a bad sack that took him out of field goal range. But if they had 10 drives in that game, and he had them in scoring opportunity in 6 of them, that's pretty efficient.
Sure.
That's pretty efficient. And look, again, don't get it twisted. C.J. Stroud is far better than Davis Mills. But I think the scheme enhances more out of Davis Mills than Stroud.
You know, it's funny. I feel like just even talking about it, you know, for some people, they'll feel like it's like, is it a debate? But I agree with you. To me, I think the talent difference, even if he wins this game against the Bills, it's really, to me, nothing to talk about. But yeah. It's a fair point that right now, like, you know, he has looked pretty well in the system.
All right, 713-780-ESPN, just getting started. Jeremy and Joe. No Joe today. Wrong answers only. Where is Joe? 713-780-3776. We're on YouTube at ESPN Houston. We're on Twitter at ESPN 975. Brian's at Sacked by BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Branham. Chancellor on Twitter is at Chancellor TV.
At Chancellor TV.
You can find them there. All right, so where are you with the Texans? I'm curious where Chancellor's at with the Texans, as somebody who follows them very closely. We'll look ahead to that game tomorrow a little bit as well. 713-780-3776. It's Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
All right, but before we go to break, it's time for me to talk to you about Burger Chan once again, my favorite place in the city to get a great burger. And I unfortunately have a longer shift at work tonight. I'm also tomorrow night as well with Work in Soccer Matters, Glenn Davis, to make sure you tune in. And that used to be a real problem when I'd have those later shifts. Get off at 7 tonight, get off at 8 tomorrow. And if I wanted a burger from the best burger place in town, too bad. I was SOL back in the day because Burger Chan used to close at 3 each day back in the olden days of 2022 when I first started working here. But nah, not the case anymore. They've heard the demand to open longer, to have their great food available longer in the day, and they have listened. Burger Chan has extended their hours to now include lunch service on Mondays and dinner service until 9 o'clock Wednesday through Saturday. So if you're going to be out near the Galleria area tonight or tomorrow or Friday or Saturday, any day Wednesday through Saturday, stop by Burger Chan and get an amazing burger. But their award-winning menu goes beyond great burgers. Had their hot dog for the first time yesterday. Got it with some mustard, cheese, charred jalapenos. It was amazing. But you can get any way you want it. Today, picked up a breakfast sandwich for lunch. They serve breakfast all day. Went with the bacon, egg, and cheese on a sweet sourdough bun with a side of spicy tots. Also amazing. And if the Texans win tomorrow, you can get your own side with your entree for free. That's right, for free. They're partnering with us for the rest of football season for Victory Mondays, or in this case, a Victory Friday. So when the Texans beat the Bills tomorrow, stop by Burger Chan on Friday, this Friday, and you'll get a free side with your entree. Order a burger, chicken sandwich, fried fish sandwich, hot dog, or falafel, and get free fries or sweet potato fries, tots, fried cheese curds, or curly fries with your order. Just stop by this Friday after the Texans win, mention my name, Brian, mention ESPN 97.5, or just say Go Texans, and you'll get a free side with your entree. Burger Chan, best burgers in the city. Find them at 5353 West Alabama. And see their full menu at BurgerChanHTX.com.
Chance, for some people call me the Huntington Bank bad boy.
Is that accurate?
Why is that?
Just because I'm a bad boy.
Is that accurate?
Chancellor Johnson filling in for Joe. I don't know why you're laughing. 713-780-ESPN. Where is Joe today? Wrong answers only. Junkie says, I seen him at the protest about goose eggs. Need to be cheaper on the corner of Airline at the farmer's market. Have you ever done the farmer's market on Airline?
I have not.
No. I've driven by it 100 times. I tell myself all the time that I need to go, and I've just never made it out there.
I haven't either.
It's like a thing to do.
Especially on the weekend, I'm doing other stuff.
I know. You know? It's Saturday morning.
Yeah, especially not during the fall either. Like, I'm watching college football.
Yeah. Respectfully. Yeah, like I would love to go. I need to just do it because I hear it's awesome.
Yeah,
you know, and I dig that stuff. I dig organic stuff and like that. I don't always look like it. I go through my phases. Joe is getting his hairs and nails done. His hair and nails done. I promise you, he's not getting his hair done. Maybe his nails.
Okay,
there's just not a whole lot of hair.
Are we
up
thinking
there.
Caleb Williams type? Are we doing the clean gloss?
He is a Bears fan.
Okay.
He is a Bears fan, maybe. So maybe he's been inspired
by
Caleb Williams. Wrong answers only. Where's Joe today? 713-780-3776. Chancellor Johnson filling in for an hour. Brian's going to do half an hour because he just can't go longer than that. And then Will Doctor will do the final 90 minutes. I think this is Keith texting in because he hates when I call it the NIT. He goes, in all capital letters, it's not the NIT! ! There's already a college basketball tournament called the NIT. It's the NBA in-season tournament. What's the acronym for that?
So this is a thing for you, like the NIT. Like this is
running. I play it up a little bit. I play it up for sure.
I mean, technically, it is spelled out that way.
It is. I mean, the acronym in NBA in season and then T tournament NIT. Let's go out to the HRP listener line 713-780-3776. Julian, you're in with Jeremy and Chance. What's up?
What's going on, gentlemen? So I just hopped in about a few minutes ago when y'all were discussing CJ's good games, bad games. And y'all talked about the Niners. Obviously, my ears puckered up.
Julian's a Niner fan.
I don't think we can really base his performance against the Niners as a measuring stick. We have nobody out there, brother. Diamondo Lenore, yes, I understand. He's still there. But we have no pass rush. We have no Fred Warner. He should have.
All right, hang up on Julian. That's right? Enough. Julian's making it all about himself. My Niner. Now he's got a point. He does have a point. I will give Julian that. He has a point. The 49ers were depleted. But Julian, you're not making it all about you and the 49ers.
So I do want to respond to that because I want to be clear. I wasn't saying like that is the measuring stick because, of course, right? Like as Julian was mentioning, like they were missing a lot of players. We also saw the Texas offense as a whole. Their best game of the entire season was against the Baltimore Ravens, and they were running out both of us out there playing defense. So I'm not using that as a measuring stick. I was just talking about some of the performances he has had this season. You can only play who's in front of you. And so, look, if it had went the other way around, if he had played poorly against that defense, you know, you would have counted it then. And so what I saw from C.J. Stroud that game, he did what he was supposed to do. And the same thing when they played the Tennessee Titans the first go-round. They won 26-0. They were 0-3 at that time. If they had lost that game, the season would have definitely been done. And So how would we have looked at that conversation then? And so that's all my point is on that, is that, you know, like, he did play well in that game just in general.
What do you think, it's all a guess here. How much do you think C.J. Stroud likes this offense? Because that really is the bigger point. And, like, he's kind of thrown shade to the offense at times. Like, you know, it's a death by a thousand cuts. Yep. Where it's like, I don't know if he loves that style of play.
You know, I don't think, just from the vibe that I've been able to gather, you know, being in the locker room from time to time, I don't get the sense that he just absolutely loves it. However, as you mentioned earlier, he has seemed to have settled in as the season has gone along. And so is Nick Haley, right? Like, especially early on, how much we were killing him. And then, you know, things didn't go well against Seattle, and they've continued to have red zone issues all year long. But overall, we have seen an improvement of the offense in general, and same thing with C.J. Stroud as the year has gone on.
Yeah. This junkie, no way C.J. Stroud is miles ahead of Mills. Better maybe, but I've seen Stroud throw some horrible passes to wide open receivers, not to mention run out of bounds for 4-yard losses instead of throwing the ball. Something you won't see Mills do, just saying. Another junkie, do you not think that the offense has been more simplified for Davis Mills, and that's maybe why he's having more success? I don't see that.
I feel like Nick Haley, just in general, he's put the Davis in positions to succeed a little bit earlier on, getting the bubble screen, just kind of the quick routes, I should say. Mm-hmm. But simplified, it does feel a little dumbed down, but not enough to make it a thing.
See, I might go a step further and say that Davis Mills is, like, more open to the idea of taking simple than C.J. Stroud. Where I don't think he's dumbing it down or simplifying it for Davis Mills. I think it's the same. I think it's the same offense. Now, Kaylee might be coming into his own and, like, finding some of the grooves and, like, what it takes to have success. Like, I think he's a better play caller today than he was week one, week two of the season. So, like, that helps Davis Mills' case, because he didn't play game one, game two of the season against good defenses, all of that. But I do think that Davis Mills is more open to the idea of taking the simple play, the single, or sometimes Stroud likes to look for the big play, the heroics. Not that he's, you know, going to do that every time, but I do think that Davis Mills is a little bit more open to the idea of it.
And I think that's good and bad, because the good, you get the easy yards, but the bad, and we've definitely seen it, and that you're missing C.J. Stroud, is you miss a little bit of that creativity when the pocket does collapse. Versus, mm-hmm. like, he's a little bit more of a playmaker, not a little bit more. He is more of a playmaker than Davis Mills, and so he is looking to extend the plays more, see if he can hit a guy down the field. Now, the one thing I will say that you haven't mentioned yet, in favor of, like, hey, how does Davis Mills look in this offense compared to C.J. Stroud? To be clear, I'm not saying he's better, but just to the topic of how he fits in this offense. We haven't talked about the one thing that he hasn't really, really well, and technically better than we've seen with C.J. Stroud, is he's targeting Nico Collins.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
That's the big one. And so for whatever reason, their best offense has been find Nico Collins, and it works most of the time. And so, you know, I know one guy who has been happy to play with Davis so far, not to say that he's not happy with C.J., because Nico Collins loves him with C.J. Stroud. I want to be clear on that. But, you know, Nico Collins is certainly eating, and I know fantasy owners everywhere are rejoicing for that.
Oh, you said fantasy football. Brian. Uh-oh. Brian perked up.
Uh-oh.
Brian loves fantasy football. Brian loves fantasy football more than he loves video games and his wife.
You are the guy with over 500 underdog leads, not me.
It's a little under 500.
What's your record? How are you looking in your main league?
In my main league, I'm 7-3.
Okay.
Ooh, okay. That flex.
Who's your RB?
Flexing.
In that league, it's Derrick Henry and Travion Henderson.
Ooh. Well, we'll see if Travion Henderson comes back down to earth. That's a whole other thing. We don't have to get into that, but yeah.
You're making King of Twitch very mad right now. King of Twitch hates fantasy football. 713-780-ESPN. Ocho says Mills does look better, though. How is Stroud a far superior talent than Mills? I mean, open your eyes, Ocho. You're just being contrarian, Ocho.
We have respectfully to Davis Mills, who, once again, I think is playing some good football right now. We've had 5 years of Davis, and I think he's done his job against the Tennessee Titans, against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Talk to me after this Bills game. If Davis Mills goes out and balls out against a really good, not just the Bills team overall, right, who have one of the best players in the league and, you know, Josh Allen.
Ed Oliver?
Ed Oliver. Shout out to
he's
shout
on
out
the IR, though, unfortunately.
But their pass defense is very, very good. I believe they have the second best pass defense in the league. Actually, the one weakness they do have is on that running game. That's something the Texans haven't been able to really get going pretty much all year long, except for a couple of games. If Davis Mills has a really good game and outplays Josh Allen, then we can have, you know, more conversations about just Davis Mills and his improvement as a quarterback. That's as far as I'm willing to take it.
I don't know if that is a sentence that I ever thought I would hear. If Davis Mills outplays Josh Allen. Now, it's possible because the Houston Texans defense can make quarterbacks look silly. Some good card. And Josh Allen hasn't had success against the Houston Texans.
Well, he hasn't at all. And matter of fact, the Houston Texans have had the Buffalo Bills number for years now. Five straight wins at NRG Stadium over the Buffalo Bills. You can go back to me, my oldest memory, I guess, of that one is Deshaun Watson, or the he who should not be named here in Houston. That playoff game.
Yeah.
You know, and that was the game where he got hit in the eye. Is that the same?
Sounds right. They didn't score at all the first three quarters, and it was a fourth quarter rally. That was the game where Josh Allen got tackled and tried to lateral it backwards.
Yep.
And I can't remember if the Texans recovered there or not, which is almost like the greatest highlight play of all time, but also like the stupidest play of all time, which is the antithesis of Josh Allen, in my opinion. Where are you with the Texans, you think? 5-5, tough schedule coming up. The next three are critical for them. Where are you with them? Like, are they a playoff team? Are they got to get hot? Where do you stand?
Well, if I could sum it up in one word, it'd be still disappointed. Like, this is a Houston Texans team that, to begin the year, supposedly had championship aspirations, right? I remember sitting in the end of the season press conference, and Will Anderson got up and spoke at the podium, and he was just talking about how motivating it's been for him, or this offseason was going to be for him, coming up short once again, you know, in the divisional round. And shout out to Will Anderson. This is not about him individually, but as a team, the overall point is this is a team that had aspirations to go really far. And so right now, yes, they're in the hunt, right? But like, hunt isn't good enough.
Yeah.
We're talking about a team that we expected to win the division, and the Colts are playing. Obviously, the Colts look like one of the best teams in football right now, but some of the overall performances, mainly of this offense, because the Texans have the best defense in the league right now. So it does point to the offense, but just in general, the fact that we're still here and like, hey, they're on the hunt, can they hold off? And this is the thing. They'll have to hold off teams like the Baltimore Ravens, who are now getting healthy both defensively and with Lamar Jackson. They still have to hold off, and I don't think anybody would have thought this to begin the year, but the Kansas City Chiefs. That's a team they'll have to see later on this season at Arrowhead. Can they finally defeat their Kansas City woes with the Chiefs, you know, later down the season? So right now, as I mentioned, I'm just disappointed because this is not where, you know, we originally thought they would be. But, you know, as I did mention, they are in the hunt. And so we'll see what happens over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, that's about where I'm at, too. I think the schedule is too difficult. And I think they put themselves in too tough of a spot to make the playoffs. I think they're going to be an 8-9 win team, finish eighth in the AFC. Kind of where I'm at with them. But they do have, they have the potential to do better than that. If Stroud comes back and the offense starts to not even click, like if they have a top half of the NFL offense, a top 15 offense with this defense, you can rattle off 4 or 5. You can rattle off 5 or 6 even against good teams.
And that was my frustration just early on throughout the season, is I feel like this is a championship caliber defense. Not I think, like it is. They're the number one defense in the league. And for, you know, the performance that they've had this year, you know, throughout, they've kept them in ball games. That's why I think they'll be in a ball game on Thursday, even with the Buffalo Bills coming into town, especially with the way might have been Josh Allen's worst game of his entire career.
Against the Texans.
Yeah. And look, he had problems with them last year. The defense has improved since then. I don't know if the Bills' offense in general is that much better from where it was last year. If anything, I think they've had their woes. They ran the ball really well, but they have a Keon Coleman problem, a guy they invested some high capital in. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I think tomorrow at NRG Stadium on national TV, the defense will put the Texans in position to win the ball game again. Can Money Mills deliver like he has the past two games?
I think the Kincaid loss is bigger than the Coleman thing. Like, Coleman, better draft pick, like, big picture, that's the bigger loss. But, like, in the confines of the season, in the confines of the Buffalo Bills offense right now, today, I think the Kincaid loss is far more important than Keon Coleman. 713-780-3776. Chancellor Johnson filling in for Joe. Where's Joe? Wrong answers only. 713-780-3776. Rockets have a big NIT game tonight against the Cleveland Cavs on the road. I saw you could get into that game tonight for $7. between the Rockets and the Cavs. We'll discuss the Rockets and where they're at currently, 12 games in to the NBA season. 713-780-3776. Jeremy, no Joe, it's Chance on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. No, Joe's not here. Where is Joe? Wrong answers only. I heard Joe's just hitting up the water parks in a certain city in Ohio with a certain uncle. Ryan says Joe had an appointment at the pediatrician this afternoon. Hashtag Joe George is a giant toddler. That's been everybody's been running with that. Okay. They think that Joe is a giant toddler. Joe's meeting with the Pope for the Chicago Bears miracle run. Josh from Seabrook. Joe thinks that the reason the Bears are winning is because the Pope.
The Pope.
Because he's a da Bears fan. Ocho says Joe George is out looking for a Kingston Fleming's jersey. Joe is getting another new computer after playing baseball in the house again. His son broke his other computer. They were playing baseball in the house, and he like had his computer open like this, and he smashed the ball on his computer and like shattered it.
Oh, man.
Yeah, rookie mistake. Joe isn't there because he's doing his show prep for the next six shows. So that's 3 hours of work. Why wouldn't he have been here? Joe said he preps for the show for 30 minutes. Weestraw, hey, Jeremy, was that your burner account on the Texan subreddit earlier today? I haven't. No, I don't have a burner. I actually haven't went to the Texans Reddit today. I wonder, I guess they're talking about me. I'll have to investigate on that in a little bit. Joe had his annual pap smear appointment today.
Oh, wow.
That's not very nice to Joe. All right, where are you with Chancellor Johnson's filling in for a Joe. You can follow him on Twitter at Chancellor TV. He does great work. Big 12, covers the Texans, covers the Rockets, covers the Cougars too. We'll talk about the Cougars here in a little bit. Times are good for the Houston Cougars.
Yes, they are.
The pressing question here that I think I have to ask you before we talk about the Houston Rockets. What do you think of a Rocket podcast titled Rocket Power? How good, on a scale of 1 to 10, how good of a podcast name is Rocket Power? 1 being bad, 10 being good.
I'll go 5.
That's nice.
It's not very, you know, I mean, I feel like I'm talking about somebody. I don't want to do that.
No, you are, yeah. Joe George and Sean Mabes have a podcast titled Rocket Power.
Shut up.
I love that name, actually. It's very, very good. But Kevin Durant, Alpi Shingun taking the next level, Fred VanVleet, you know, I haven't said he's out for the year, but out for a majority of the year. You know, who's the point guard? Amin Thompson obviously is taking on that role. But what do you think of the Rockets 12 games into the season?
Man, they look good, don't they?
Yeah.
Right? Like to be the number three team in the West, you know, they've had some really close losses in the couple that they have had. But early on, I mean, to me, the story is KD and Alpi, like already – one of the best, if not the best duo in the league right now. And the last game is the reason why you brought in Kevin Durant, where late in the ball game and you need a bucket, who do you turn to? And it's the one of the best basketball players of all time, and he's more than delivered. And then, you know, it was nice, too, talking to him after the game, how he was talking about how he's never had played with a big like Alperen Şengün. He's played with some really talented bigs just in the past, as he called them specialists, but none like Alpi. And even when Alpi didn't shoot, you know, so great in that bowl game, in their win over the Magic, he still was just absolutely sensational. And then you have Reed Shepard, who continues to elevate. And I remember, like, early on, it was like, you know, his first two games, he struggled.
Yeah.
Granted, against OKC, one of the best defenses. They might be the best defense, you know, in the entire NBA. The reigning NBA champs. He didn't play very well. That second game still didn't respond well. But then just each game, he's continuing to get better and better. And what I like is the confidence, man. He's letting it fly. And I think that's really important, you know, when you're sharing the court with a guy like KD and Alperen Şengün. And to me, like if Reed Shepard isn't being aggressive, it's almost like, what is he on the court for? Because like he is very talented, and not only can he shoot it, he has ability to get to the rack, and defensively he gets his hands, you know, he forced a lot of turnovers, right? Uh-huh. He gets his hands on balls. So I like a lot what I've seen from the Houston Rockets.
I don't love Reed going to the rack. I don't think he's good there yet. Now, I want to see him do it, to your point. That's an area where I think he needs to improve. Steph Curry was terrible going to the rim early in his career, not comparing the two. Don't twist my words. I'm super sensitive about that today. Defensively, you're right. He has good hands. He still gets blown by a lot.
Yeah.
And, like, Ime Udoka immediately goes to the zone every time he puts Reed Shepard into the game, which is fine. Like, players have weaknesses, right? Like, the players aren't perfect. Even the best players have weaknesses. Kevin Durant, Alpi Shingun are phenomenal. They're a little sloppy with the basketball at times. Mm-hmm. I wish they would limit the turnovers a little bit at times. Is that nitpicky? Yes. But it's just proven the point that every player has weaknesses. What's amazing, I don't really look at NBA standings too early in the year. Usually it's like around Christmas, maybe even the new year thing. But for some reason, I was looking at the standings, and I knew Oklahoma City was off to an unbelievable start. I didn't realize the Pistons were 13-2.
Oh, man.
So, like, we look back at, like, the two games the Rockets lost early in the year. Mm-hmm. They lost really close games to two teams who are a combined 27-3.
Listen, I don't know if you haven't seen the Pistons. They look great. And, obviously, Cade Cunningham is one of the, rising – not just rising star. Cade Cunningham is a rising superstar, especially after what I saw him do in last postseason. But Jalen Duren, he's been great. The young big who, you know, is out of Memphis and the combination that he has with Cade. I talked about best duos in the league. Between Jalen and Cade, they look like one of the best duos themselves. And then they have another player who's really skyrocketed. He was like a late round pick, and now he's averaging 20 points per game in the last five games. So Detroit, they look great. And so going back to Reed though, as I mentioned, I feel like each game he's gotten better, and I think he really helps the ceiling of this Rockets team. If you can rely on a guy who right now is coming off the bench and has shown the ability to space the floor and play make for others, which is something that they were missing without Fred VanVleet. I'm not saying he's as good as Fred VanVleet in that category, but he certainly can do it.
Yeah, I think that's an area where he has to get better at too, is playmaking for others. But I do like the aggression. Mm-hmm. I like the fact that when he comes onto the floor, kind of mostly with the second unit, although he's out there with starters at times too, that he is looking for his shot, that he is aggressive. Because I think that he can take the Rockets' depth to another level, because I like the Rockets' depth. I mean, it's very, very good. Tari's hurt right now, so it kind of hurts that a bit. But you come off the bench, you have Tari, you have Reed, you have Steven Adams. You know, Clint Capella's going to get a few minutes here and there. We haven't even seen the Rockets' debut of Dorian Finney-Smith.
DFS.
Like, that's going to look really good. What does that even do for Okogie? Does that mean he goes to the bench and now he's part of that depth? Yep. Probably. But I like how Reed Sheppard has kind of taken the alpha role offensively with that second unit. Because I think because of all those role players I just mentioned, there's not a lot of guys there that are elite offensive players or have the chance to be an elite offensive player. And Reed's got a long way to go to be an elite offensive player, but he's got the best chance to be good offensively relative to those other guys.
You didn't draft Reed Sheppard with the number 3 overall pick for him to go out there and just kind of orchestrate guys. You drafted Reed that high, especially when you look at his size, because that was one of his biggest knocks, is he's a little bit undersized. You drafted him because of the upside, because you know offensively he is gifted. Like he has a unique skill set of, one, being a high-level shooter of what we saw, at least in college, athletic enough to get to the basket and play make for others. And then, you know, the trait that we talked about earlier is he has great hands. And so, you know, as I mentioned, I like the fact that Ime Udoka put him out there and is like, no, I want you to feel comfortable with KD and Alperen Sengun taking the shot, hunting your shot. And because, as I mentioned, like, there's no point of having him come out there and just orchestrate. Like, you wanted the guy who can do some of those things I talked about, and each game he showed it more and more.
That's the thing that I think is the most underrated with this, is I think that the Rockets coaching staff has done a tremendous job of adjusting on who Reed Sheppard is. Because the first couple of games, like, okay, you're our point guard, you're initiating our offense, and I think Reed Sheppard was lost. Mm-hmm. Now they've kind of pulled back on that, where, okay, you're going to play a little bit more off the ball. You can bring it up, but the moment you get pressure, we got a little outlet over here in Alpi Sengun or Jabari, mm-hmm. where, hey, you're not going to have the pressure because we're just going to get the ball out of your hands. Now, I do think over time they're going to start to put a little bit more of that stuff on his play. But you've put him in a position to succeed, and a lot of times the coach's job is to put players in a position to succeed. And I think that Ime and his staff have done a great job with that.
The funny thing is, though, you might not have to, though, with the way that Alperen Sengun is playing, especially with him kind of orchestrating the offense and running, you know, running point, yep. you know, in a way. And even like down the stretch, you can just turn the ball to KD or Alperen Sengun. And the thing I want to mention, too, about Reed Sheppard is, what does it do for your confidence when you hit a three and KD is like in your face, like
one of the greatest scorers ever?
Ever, like hyping you up. Yeah. Imagine the confidence you would get after something like that.
Yeah, you're right about that. All right, 713-780-3776. Let's talk about the Cougs. Talk about the Houston Cougs. Number 2 team in the AP. They dropped after beating a top 25 team. Can you believe that? It's kind of goofy. Nobody cares about the AP people. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe. No Joe. It's Chance. It's on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. No Joe today. Where's he at? Wrong answers only. 713-780-3776. Will Doctor will co-host 4:30 to 6. Brian, 4 to 4:30. Chance got a dip. He had other things to do. More important things than you, Houston. He hates all of you. He's going to
whoa,
I'm
whoa,
kidding. I'm
whoa.
Joking.
I'm
sorry.
From
I like
city.
To have fun, Chance. I'm sorry.
You always come in here with these down questions.
I don't, you know, don't let the truth get in the way of a good story. We're not journalists, Chancellor.
That's fair.
We can have fun on the radio.
No, but some people might not know. They actually might, you know, some people might think that.
Oh, no.
I'm from the city, though. You know, I'm from Houston.
Where'd you go to high school?
Dawson. Dawson and Pearland.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. So you're young then, if you went to Dawson.
Yeah, I am.
Because, like, I'm old. I grew up in Atascocita, but I went to Humble.
Okay.
Because Atascocita wasn't built
yet. Sure. What about, how far is that from North Shore? Is
it not too far? You go Beltway 8. Okay. You're there in 15 minutes. No, it's right up the tollway. Yeah, it's not far at all. There was always some good games between North Shore and Humble. They weren't always in the same district, though. It's kind of weird how they do zoning.
Humble has never been good in athletics, from what I can remember, respectfully.
Incorrect.
From what I can remember. When?
Again, this is a sign that you're very young.
Yeah.
Because
that's what I'm saying. Because
Humble and Kingwood were the only two schools in Humble ISD for a long time. And, like, they were both top 10 biggest enrollment in the state of Texas. But then when Summer Creek came and Kingwood Park came and Atascocita came, it depleted them. Humble went to a state semifinal in football, I think, with, like, David Boston.
Like,
you remember
80s?
That name?
No
brother, come on now.
Brother.
You're making me feel like unk. No, David Boston played in the NFL. He was he played at Ohio State, played in the NFL, had, like, one crazy all-pro year, and then got busted for steroids. David Givens played in the NFL. Bertrand Berry played in the NFL.
Okay. Now we're
Jackie Battle. He went to U of H, too, Battle.
Yeah,
he was a year ahead of me.
Okay.
No, they had some. They had my senior year. I didn't play football.
When'd you graduate?
They couldn't handle me. 2003.
Okay.
2003. My senior year, we had like six Division I players.
Oh wow.
Three of them went to A&M. Chris Alexander, Jason Jack, Eric Mays, Willie Fontenot went to Arizona. We had a couple kickers that both went D1.
Okay.
You remember the Statue of Liberty play for Boise State when they beat Oklahoma in the Fiesta Bowl?
Yeah,
my boy Kyle Stringer was the punter on that team. Jason Bonzio.
Okay.
You know that name? You went around in Arizona for a little bit. You went to Arizona State. Bonzio was a kicker at Arizona.
Arizona State.
No, we had some good teams before all the new schools came. Like, Atascocita loaded.
Yeah.
Summer Creek loaded.
Well, if you remember, like, Pearland used to be really, really good. And then you got Manville, you had Dawson, and now you got Shadow Creek. So Pearland is, like, they're still good schools in general, but that's not the same, so I know how it goes.
No, you've been on the beat of a bunch of Houston dudes. Oh, Alex saying that I hit 400 in high school. That's right. I was a 400 hitter in high school, if that means anything to you. I think it does, because you know ball.
Yeah. 2 for 5.
I was 2 for 5. Yeah, I didn't play much. I was managing the game. anyways, what do you think of the Cougars so far this year? Undefeated, 4-0, number 2 team in the country. Play Ryder tomorrow, and then go to Vegas next week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Houston Cougars, you know, I'm really excited about their ceiling, right? And Kelvin Sampson has talked about that a bunch of this might be the highest ceiling of a team talent-wise that he's had in a really long time, and I can see it, especially right now, being led by their really two freshmen. As I mentioned earlier on, we haven't even really seen Isaiah Harwell really kind of take to the stage yet, but Kingston Flemings, I mean, he's a guy who I don't know if there's any prospect in the country that has done more for himself than he has in the first 2 to 3 weeks of the season. It's been absolutely phenomenal. And then Chris Cienak, I thought the Auburn game was his best game of the season. He needs to learn how to not foul out. But his impact, both on the boards and just offensively, was spectacular. And for Kelvin Sampson to now have a big that can step out and shoot it alongside the best defensive player in the country in JoJo Tugler. And then you know what you're going to get out of Emmanuel Sharp. He's the guy who gives you the quietest 15 to 20 points ever. But it can obviously step out and shoot the three. And then Miles Yuzan, another slow start to the season, but he had a really big shot to help take down the Tigers in Birmingham. And so that'll count as a neutral game, but that's really a road game. And for his freshman to go in there and get that win and start off the season, was it 3-0, 4-0 now?
4-0.
Very, very impressive.
Yeah, I like the balance of this team. I think their potential is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. I mean, you mentioned the Kingston Flemings, like his stock from where it was at the start of the year. Like, start of the year, it's probably like, hey, he's a 2-year player.
Right.
Now it's like, is he a lottery pick?
Yeah.
Like, can it be even, can it grow higher than that? And, and look, he's still got to have the test of, you know, big games, still has to have the test of conference play and all of that too. So we'll see what it looks like in a few months. But yes, his draft stock is looking really good. Cienak gives them something at the four that, you know, you have another lottery type of player there. You know, still has room to grow, a lot of room to grow. You mentioned JoJo, his defensive presence. Emmanuel Sharp is, you know, a deadly shooter, scoring a little bit more too. And then you got two point guards, I mean, with Yuzan and with Kingston. So it's a very balanced team. I like how you brought up Harwell, because I think Harwell can be like a stud 3-and-D guy that can play a little bit of mostly the three, but even a little four if you want to go small. Chase McCarty, who has not hit his shot so far this season, right, is one of the best shooters on the team. Like, it's crazy.
You know, it's funny because he keeps taking a shot, and I'm like, does he hit that in practice?
Yes.
And Kelvin Sampson says he does. Yes. But, yeah, he's had a slow start to the season.
It's crazy. Yeah. Like, he's getting great looks, too. Yeah. It's like he's taking bad looks. Mm-hmm. Like, he's taking tremendous wide-open looks that he would normally make. Mm-hmm. 60-70% of the time. And he's one for his first 11.
And to that point, that's one thing that I'm watching out on right now is who's going to be that guy who is going to come off the bench and fill that role. Because last year was Malik Wilson. Mm-hmm. And Malik, it wasn't just like, he comes in and spurts. Like, Malik Wilson helped win multiple games
Kansas
throughout
game.
His career. The Kansas game.
Duke game even. Yeah. He had the steal.
Because, one thing we know about, with UH, because they play so physical, guys are going to get in foul trouble. So you have to have depth on the team. So is it going to be, Isaiah Harwell? I think they certainly expect him to be. But, Chase McCarty, another guy who we haven't mentioned yet, who I've been impressed with, is Mercy Miller. I thought he's had a really nice start to the season, hitting shots. And that's the biggest thing, right? Like, who can make shots for this Houston Cougars team? And for him to come off the bench and hit a couple, I was impressed by that. So, as I mentioned, the growth of this team, they have a very high ceiling. But right now, I don't know if they're the number two team in the country. And that's okay. You don't have to be. It's November. The question is, what will you look like come March and come hopefully for the Houston Cougars?
And with Sampson coaching them too, like, the amount of growth they're going to have between now and March is going to be insane, because he's one of the best in the country at developing his players. And then we didn't mention Sako. Sam Houston transfer, the 7-foot backup center, like that's a key rotation player that if Tugler's prone to foul trouble at time, that's not a secret. Mm-hmm. He gets into a little bit of foul trouble, you go to the bench and you have a 7-footer who can block a couple shots, grab 5-6 rebounds, that can change a game defensively. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty good luxury to have too.
You have to have, as I mentioned, some depth there, because they're just you're too physical of a team. Like, guys are going to get in foul trouble, and somebody like JoJo, as you mentioned, he is prone to get some foul trouble. And he's been banged up, and because of how physical they are, not just the foul trouble, but you also have injuries. Like, we've seen that throughout the years, especially that wears on you with how hard they play, and so you have to have guys step in, and so it's a luxury to have a serviceable big, not just a guy who needs some space, right? A guy who can make an impact. And we saw that in the Auburn game, that huge block to in the ball game for against Auburn. So he's looked good so far too in his first couple of games. So excited to see this team throughout these next few months.
A few textures saying you guys see the commitment to Houston. I'm not sure I'm allowed to comment on that, but I saw it.
I did see it.
I don't know. I don't really keep up with high school recruiting a lot. Like, I usually wait till they're on campus, but I do know I'm aware of him. I'm aware of his accolades and stuff like that. It's a good get if it is true.
It is a very good get, and he's a massive player. He would be one of the biggest he would be the biggest post player for Kelvin Sampson, this Houston Cougars team, since I've been covering the team. And so you take that type of size, and obviously he's skilled. He's the number one center in the country. So that's back-to-back years that Kelvin Sampson has secured the number one center of their class. And, you combine that size and skill, and you bring him into this culture that they have within U of H, and you're going to get a pretty good player.
7'1", 300-pound high schooler. Mm. That's stupid.
What are they feeding that young man?
I don't know. It's Iowa, so there's no telling. Probably a lot of stuff. All right, Chance, you got to run. Appreciate you doing this, man.
Absolutely,
this is a lot of fun. We'll do it again soon.
Please do.
Yeah, we'll tell Joe to get sick more often. I think everybody appreciates it. All right, let's go to break. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Brian and I are going to kick some things around a little bit. We're gonna bet. We're going to play our fix game. I'm here tomorrow. Joe's gone tomorrow. I'm off Friday, and then I'm off all next week. So we're going to do the fix when we come back. All of the weekly winners that you need to know. Or you might just fade us because we've been terrible at this. It's Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.